Nice to meet you. Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
Hey!
Happy Saturday! Hey, BE community, how you doing? Oh, the Becoming series continues, y'all. It just get more and more better.
Yes.
So we have a very special guest in the building. But before we dive into that, how are you ladies doing?
I'm doing.
Oh, there you go.
There we go. I'm doing great.
Yep. Perfect.
Yes. Perfect.
Doing great. Yeah. Okay, glad to be here.
Yay. Glad to have you back.
Thank you. Yes. Glad to be back.
Y'all may recognize this face because we had her and her husband here a couple seasons ago. And we knew right then, we were like, oh, we got to have you back, Sola. We got to. So here we are. Here we are. So glad you're here.
Thank you.
And I've been checking out all of your videos that you have been dropping.
Hey, I haven't. Fill me in.
Maisha, I don't know. I feel like I've recently started seeing them. When did you start doing those?
Oh, wow. So I am a government employee. So I've been furloughed since October 1st.
Oh, wow.
And immediately when I got furloughed, I was like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with this time?
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, turn on your camera and speak.
Amen.
I created you to speak. So that's why you've seen an uptick in me being obedient. I'll just pop on the camera.
Sometimes
I'm in my workout outfit. Sometimes I'm in my bonnet. It doesn't matter. Whatever God has for me to say, I'm like, I'm going to do this, Lord. I'm going to take full advantage of this season, this time.
Amen.
And that's why you probably see me a whole lot more than you have before.
Wow. It has been blessing me. So keep it up. It's been speaking to me for certain situations and in the season that we're in. So thank you for being obedient.
You're welcome. Yes.
What are some of the things you've been speaking on?
Oh, wow. So anytime God gives me a word, it's probably like in season, like you were saying, a lot that's been on my heart is rejection.
Oh, wow.
A lot that's been on my heart is to come out of hiding.
Amen.
And how the weapon of isolation and being in survival mode, and then here comes the imposter syndrome. It truly targets the mouthpieces, the people that God truly has anointed to be a voice for this generation. The enemy will get in our minds and say, you can go back into the cave, hide, you're awkward, you're the black sheep, you don't really have nothing to say. Lies, 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 lies. So that has been what I have been working through for several years, and God just chose this time for me to really come out of the cave and stay out for as long as he would have his light to shine on me to bring others out. We need your voices. We need your influence. Mm-hmm. We need your presence.
Yes.
But the enemy will tell you all the lies in the world to keep you isolated, to keep you feeling like you're not qualified. None of us are qualified.
Yeah.
God qualifies us. But we don't feel like we're adequate.
Yeah.
We feel like we're inadequate. So no. And that's why I believe that God's like, do it, Maisha. Say it, Maisha. Don't care what you look like. Don't care how you may say something, you know, incorrect English. It don't matter. Whatever God has for me to say to be a light to this generation, to be a light to his people, to give them the permission to come out of hiding and just be who God called you to be, authentically you. That's what I'm going to do.
And what did you ever figure out? What was that thing floating in front of you?
I say those were angels.
Well,
okay. I saw them.
Yes, you saw it, right?
I saw them.
Yeah. And so I do have a video where I have, you know, I had an encounter with an angel. Like, I believe in the entire gospel.
Oh, absolutely.
And God talks about how he sends his angels
absolutely
to get messages, not just in the Old Testament, baby,
come on.
He did it in the New.
Come on.
So if he did it in the New, he's doing it right now.
Amen.
And so I feel like there was a, you know, that was to let me know that the Lord was with me as I was sharing.
Yes.
Probably that particular video, it was for marriages on how to identify when you're under spiritual warfare. And I pointed them to a movie that I saw. We have to talk about that.
Love it.
I'm telling you. So, yeah, I feel like the Holy Spirit, the Lord's angels, they were right there with me, protecting me, because that movie and that small short video that I did, I feel like I did go into the enemy's camp to say, this is the real fight, you guys. It's not flesh and blood. And there are also, unfortunately, forces, people who are not necessarily for you and your covenant. It is what it is. So you have to be discerning. Yeah. You know, you have to walk in the spirit so that you can see what's what in the spiritual realm, not focusing too much on the natural. So that's on my Instagram. That video's on my, I think,
and
YouTube.
Said, and I'm not going to edit this out. I said,
I did. And I kept seeing it, too.
I kept seeing it, too.
Well, if you don't know, now you know. This is who we're talking to today, okay? We out here. So
Usher
us on in, Toya. You want to read the official bio?
And let me read that. I know we already been getting
but it's
it.
Good. It's good though.
Already. I'm so excited about this episode, but let me introduce you to Myesha Houston. She is a faith-driven speaker and writer with a passion for helping women break free from survival mode, amen, and step boldly into their God-given femininity. A mother at 16, a wife at 22, and a corporate leader, she knows what it feels like to carry many titles while losing touch with her true identity.
Amen.
Through her story of resilience, faith, and transformation, Myesha inspires women to rediscover self-love, embrace their unique gifts, and thrive as the extraordinary daughters of God they were created to be. So we are excited to have Myesha Houston.
Thank you. Happy to be here again. Woo! Thank you for the invitation.
Good stuff. Well, take us on in. We're going to start, for those that may not have witnessed the episode that you and your husband were on, where you shared part of your testimony. Just tell us a little bit about, you know, how you grew up, where you're from, and just a little bit about how this whole journey started for you.
Okay. Well, I'll start by just introducing myself. Who am I?
Mm-hmm.
I am a woman who has learned that God uses every part of your story.
Amen.
And can turn it around for his glory.
Amen.
The good, the bad, the wounds, the rejection, depression, heartbreak, the joys, the triumphs, all of it can be used for his glory.
Amen.
I am a wife. I am a mother. I am a storyteller. I am an encourager. And I truly believe that every experience that you can go through, that you will go through, God's there. He orchestrated it all to be used for your good. As the bio says, yes, I love to help women to see that even in those times where you're confused, sad, lonely, isolated, God is there. And he sees you and he hears you and he has a plan and purpose for you. So to say all of that, that's truly who I am. And that's pretty much my testimony. I'm from Marietta, Georgia. Homegrown, still live in Cobb County. Product of a single parent household, raised by my mother, who I love dearly. She is my number one fan. She's one of the ones I do this for. I saw her being very strong, strong Black woman, you know, went up the corporate ladder, fought hard. She was an orphan. So I was her one and only. Never, you know, knew my dad, never had a male figure, but I had my mama. When I got pregnant at 16, one thing I will say, my mother never judged me. She never judged me. She just said, Myesha, we gonna do this. And that we did. And I had my son and we did everything that we could to pour into him. fast forwarding mm-hmm. when I got married, my husband and I, Mario, Pastor Mario, hey. Shout out to my it's official.
Congratulations, hey. Pastor Mario.
We kind of have some similar background, you know, how mm-hmm. we were raised, but we came into our marriage with mm-hmm. 2 5-year-old sons, aww. Blended marriage. And we knew that God put us together. Mm-hmm. And what we didn't know back then is, although God put us together, the enemy hated us being together. So we went through a lot. We went through a lot of spiritual warfare that I can now look back. And that's why I'm so passionate about giving married couples and wives tools on how to overcome.
Yeah.
My testimony is just that, an overcomer.
Amen.
More than a conqueror. Mm-hmm. It took time for me to identify who I was mm-hmm. because of having a child at such a young age mm-hmm. and then being a wife at such a young age. And I am very ambitious. Mm-hmm. I saw my mother being very ambitious. Gotcha. So I was like, okay, now I need to climb the corporate ladder. Mm-hmm. I need to be successful. And I wish I could say it was out of a heart to please God. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit, but it was more out of a heart to prove everyone else wrong.
Amen.
Who may have looked down on me growing up or saying, oh, she may not amount up to much. Mm-hmm. I wanted to prove to them or whoever the critics were, the nameless, the faceless, I didn't know. I just knew it was someone out here that I needed to prove I can do this. And I got lost.
Oh, wow.
I got lost. My identity got lost.
Okay. When you say your identity got lost, mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of different ways that you can, there are a lot of different ways or different meanings that there can have. So tell us how you define that or how you're describing when you say your identity was lost in that.
Who are you outside of your roles?
Mm-hmm.
Being a wife, being a mother.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a C-suite senior leadership mm-hmm. position in the federal government. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, who are you?
That's good.
If you're sitting down with friends and you cannot talk about your husband, mm-hmm. you cannot talk about your children, mm-hmm. and you cannot talk about work,
mm-hmm.
we need you to talk about you.
Mm-hmm.
I froze. Wow. I didn't know who I was outside of that. Because I can minister,
mm-hmm.
I can preach, I can turn. I mean, the Holy Spirit's always talking to me. Yeah. I would go into that lane of ministering.
Mm-hmm.
But even the Lord this year, he said, that's good, Maisha. That's me. I want to know about you.
Mm.
And I didn't know. I didn't know what I like to do. Yeah. I didn't know my hobbies. I knew how to survive. And I knew how to survive very well.
Wow.
And I knew how to prove others wrong and be successful.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how to just thrive in being Maisha, period. Mm-hmm. Not the minister, mm-hmm. not the pastor's wife, not the one with the prophetic word, just mm-hmm. Maisha.
That's so good that you say that and the reason I had you define that is because, and of course, we know our identity is in Christ. We absolutely know that. But as a child of God, he has uniquely created and shaped each and every one of us. And if we aren't able to take time to really delve into that and really figure out how God shaped us and why he shaped us that way, that's that other layer to me of identity, mm-hmm. where it's like, yes, my identity is in Christ, but in Christ, he has fearfully and wonderfully made me. So what does that mean? What does that look like? So practically for you, when you come to this realization, you're like, okay, you know, I'm focused on the hats that I wear, the titles that I have mm-hmm. and what I do instead of who I am and who God has called me to be. Like, then what practical steps did you take to really find your true identity?
Well, I leaned on who I was in Christ and I cried mm-hmm. out to God. I wish I Amen. Could say Amen. A, B, C, D, right. and it's like really That's nice right. and neat.
Yeah.
When I got to that realization, I wept
mm-hmm.
because I didn't know where to start, but with my father, mm-hmm. with my creator. And I went to him like a baby girl, Daddy, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that even, you know, all walks of life, especially with women, we get so strong quick. We're taught to be strong, whether by your, you know, the family you were raised in or just by society, even in the corporate business, even in church.
Yep.
If you're not strong, you're thinking, I'm going to be walked all over. Yep. I'm going to be taken advantage of. I'm not going to be given the same opportunities as someone else that may, you know, be not as strong or something like that. So I took off every strong girl. Wow. I took off every survival mode. I took off everything that I taught myself. I reparented myself at a young age so that I could stand up against people who would come at me because I was a teen mom, you know? So I had to let all of that go. So number one, I started from scratch. Mm-hmm. I cried out to God and I said, Lord, help me. Mm-hmm. And one thing that the Lord said, God is so good, y'all. He said, Maisha, I can handle all of this. Mm-hmm. When I cried, I went off, just dumping. He said, Maisha, I can handle this. You can't. I can handle it. So I stayed there for a minute, y'all. I stayed there and sat in. I truly don't know who I am. Mm-hmm. And I allowed the Lord to reintroduce me to me through his lens.
That's so good.
So I would say number one, start there. And don't be in a rush to get past it because it's uncomfortable.
Come on.
It is uncomfortable. Yeah. But don't be in a rush to get past that so quickly.
That's the key,
right? Mm-hmm. Because you need those times of, Lord, I don't know, but you do. That's what starts building your relationship with the Lord at another level.
Amen.
You may have known him at one level, but now you're going to know him when you have been naked, unashamed, you're vulnerable, you're transparent, and he's still there. So he started me from scratch. Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing, knowing that God will start from scratch. Yeah. No matter how many mistakes you feel like you have made. Mm-hmm. God can take it and start over.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay to start from scratch. Like we feel like, well, I don't have time or look how far I've come. I got to start again. And God is like, I am the great redeemer. I redeem everything. And he does it in his way and in his timing. So what we feel like could have taken decades to build, God can tear down and restore in a heartbeat. It's really up to him, but we have to be given over to his timing. We have to be given over to his process, and we can't be afraid of, like what you were talking about, of that messiness, of that undoneness, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, I think as women, we're just taught to have it together, be put together, be on your game. And, and that's well and good for a time and a place. Mm-hmm. But before the creator of the universe, the one who knit you together in your mother's womb, he's like, yeah, I know all of that. I know you're hanging by a thread, though. And guess what? I'm going to pull that thread so that you can just come undone and you can just be vulnerable and naked and unashamed in my presence and allow me to restore you and make you who I called you to be, not who you think you need to be.
Absolutely.
So it's,
I feel like I'm currently in a season very similar to that, where I personally feel like I've surrendered everything and I feel like I don't have control. Mm-hmm. And it's scary and uncomfortable. And I'm anticipating the way God is going to show up or will show up. Mm-hmm. So I am resonating with everything that you're saying, and I'm looking forward to what God has in store.
Amen. So good. So good.
And the healing happens in the undoneness and the messiness. We think it's going to happen when we're all well put together and I know my next step and I have a great sense of self. That's not where that's not when the healing takes place.
Wow.
The healing takes place when you say, God, I don't know, and this hurts, and help me. Mm-hmm. That's when you start getting healed. That's when the deliverance takes place.
That's so good. That's so Woo! Good. God can't heal what you don't reveal.
Hello.
We'll just say that. He cannot heal what you don't reveal. Now, I know, again, y'all, we jumped in the deep end. Some of this we'll come back to, but here's the deal. Here's your homework. If you like, what? Wait, you skipped over her being a teenage mama and you skipped over how she met her husband. Guess what, y'all? We talked about that already, okay? We might touch on it now, but we really going with where God wants us to go. So if you missed that, there's the episode that we did with her husband a couple seasons ago. I want to say it was season, it might have actually been last season, season 10, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So check that. And then for our 100th episode, we hosted a women's conference at Maisha's church, and we have footage of her sharing her testimony there too. So like mm-hmm. literally she's a friend of the BE community. So if you don't know, like literally go and research. But we might, if we get to it, we get to it. I just want y'all to know this is where we at right now.
Okay? I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So should we go into faith, resilience, and transformation?
Yes. Okay. So you talked a lot about these different seasons and how your faith has sustained you through those different seasons when you were just trying to survive. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of share a little bit more about that season for us?
That season. So that's probably like more of like a lifetime, mm-hmm. I think, thing. So when you're in survival mode, you are doing the best you can to do just that, yeah. survive.
Yeah.
Since I was a little girl, I've always, you know, known there was a God. Mm-hmm. I always could hear from him.
Mm-hmm.
So to help me get through those times or those seasons, that life mm-hmm. of just surviving,
mm-hmm.
that's when I would lean on, Lord, I need to hear from you. And how do I hear from you? Again, I'm a prayer warrior. Yeah. I will pray and I will cry out yeah. to the Lord. Amen. Like there's no coming out of being in that place, yeah. whether you're surviving or thriving. I learned that right off. And I also learned that by leaning on my faith, I am made after the image and likeness of the Lord. And in Genesis, when he said, let there be light,
yeah.
there was light. And so I found out really early on that my words had power.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I was like, you know what? I'm going to pray. I'm not just going to pray and complain mm-hmm. about my husband, about mm-hmm. finances, about my kids mm-hmm. or just life. I'm going to start reading this word, getting it in my spirit yeah. so that I can say out of my mouth and mm-hmm. begin to decree and declare what God has said in his word, yeah. despite of what it looked like right then.
Yeah.
You know, I tapped into God is a creator. Mm-hmm. So am I. And I'm going to create my world with his words. Cause I know mm-hmm. that if I say his words, it's not going to come back to him void.
Create your world with his yeah. words.
Mm-hmm. And you got to be a little delusional because when you get in his word, think about what he said. Let there be light.
Yeah.
There was darkness. He could have thought it. Of course, this is God, right? He yeah. could have thought, let there be light.
And
it would have been light. But he showed us, you must speak.
Absolutely.
And so then that goes into what I learned, how to get out of survival mode. My yeah. gift was to speak. Mm-hmm. We all were created to speak.
Yeah.
But I knew my gift was going to get me out of the rut of this survival mode, of this unfulfilled life that I had for mm-hmm. many years. I would do the things,
mm-hmm.
but then in my heart, I was like, but I still feel like I'm unfulfilled. It's because my voice, you know, was stunted.
All right.
All right. Let's get into faith, resilience, and transformation. Maisha, tell us a little bit about how you navigated your faith, sustaining you through those different seasons when you were just trying to survive and you weren't quite thriving mm-hmm. yet.
So I've always, since I was a little girl, I've always had a relationship with God mm-hmm. and I could always hear from God. And I depended on my ability to hear from God since I was a little girl. Even as an adult woman going through all of the seasons of uncertainty, ups, downs, trials, tribulations, I knew that if I could hear from the Lord, mm-hmm. that he would give me strategy, that he would give me my next steps, or that he would just lead me, yeah. you know, supernaturally. That was my faith. Mm-hmm. I've always been a person of faith, calling those things that be not as though they were. That Amen. Was me. So I knew that if I could hear from God and if I could get in God's word and if I could get his word mm-hmm. in, you know, in me mm-hmm. and then speak out his word,
mm-hmm.
that I was going to be okay.
Amen.
And so that's where my faith in God's word, my faith in the things that I learned,
mm-hmm.
Along the way, I had to trust him. I had to act on my faith. And yep, that's what I you know, leaned on.
Okay, so when you talk about going from surviving to thriving, mm-hmm. what does that look like?
That looks like actually being present in your life.
Wow.
Surviving is just that. I am doing whatever mm-hmm. it takes to survive. I may be experiencing some good things, mm-hmm. but I can't really see it mm-hmm. because I'm focused on only surviving.
Or really enjoying
it. Or even enjoying it. So when you're in survival mode, it's very much, you know, day to day, what I have to do, what I have to take care of. And a lot of it is based in performance mm-hmm. because that's how you get rewarded, mm-hmm. you know. But now that, you know, I realize that surviving, it was actually, I don't know how to say it better than, it was strangling me. Mm. I felt like I was dying on the vine. And I knew that, no, there's got to be more to mm-hmm. life than this, Lord. You know, I don't know who I am. I'm not like living. Mm-hmm. I'm not enjoying life. And quite frankly, I didn't know how to because yeah. I was raised. I had to, you know, move my family forward mm-hmm. and be strong for everyone. And I felt like I was, you know, in charge of making mm-hmm. sure everyone else's emotions were okay when my own were being neglected. I knew that I'm not going to last very much longer.
Yeah.
And so making that choice to trust God, because that is a big trust.
Huge.
To say, Lord, I don't want to only do the things that I know would get me from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. I need to know how to really tap into that John 10:10 life. You said that came to give me life.
Come on.
And so that I can have it more abundantly. Well, where is that? Where that? Where is that abundant life? So it was like, Lord, I'm really going yeah. to let go of everything that yeah. I taught myself on how to survive, how to be a big girl, how to mm-hmm. take care of everything and have everything in order. But I'm dying on the vine. I'm going to take my hands off. And Lord, you teach me that John 10:10, yeah. that life that you created for yeah. us to thrive in, not just survive. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that broke the mold a little bit because that's not how I was raised. Mm-hmm. That's not, you know, the circle that I was in. We was all just surviving. We were just mm-hmm. trying to get through.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I'll be the one to take a step out on faith and say, I'm going to transition from just surviving to thriving.
So I just saw vision.
Go ahead.
Share really quick while it's there. I saw a book.
Hey!
Dying on the vine.
My Lord.
You got a book in you. Is it coming? Are you working on it?
Yes, I am.
Amen.
I saw it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And that speaks to, you know, this is a Christian, this is a faith-based audience. And my hope is that even while you're in church, you're born again, you're saved, be careful that you don't, you think that is like it, like as long as I can preach or sing or do all the things and, you know, the in Christian, mm-hmm. the church mm-hmm. world, mm-hmm. that is the totality. A lot of ministers, preachers, pastors, all in between, they get lost in that and they will say, I'm lost. I'm like, but you're a great preacher. You're a great prophet. Yeah, but I am lost. I don't know how to transition out of mm-hmm. just doing that to just being me and mm-hmm. having a good life and sitting with myself and saying, mm-hmm. I really do enjoy my life. Yeah. I really enjoy the grace that God put mm-hmm. on my life. It's not just doing it,
yeah.
you know, just out of like religious, you know, behavior and things like that. So, yeah.
How did you get to that place? Like, what was either the breaking point or the turning point, especially if, mm-hmm. like you said, that's all you knew growing up? That's all the people around you. We survive, we get it done, we do what we need to do. What was the breaking point or the turning point for you to go from, realize you need to go from surviving to thriving?
Wow, it's an array of things. It's an array of things. Someone prophesied that 2025 was the year of personal revival and reinvention.
Amen.
And I could not agree with that more. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like for me, it started probably late 2024. Mm-hmm. I had some health things going on. Mm-hmm. And I went to a functional medicine doctor. Mm-hmm. And she put me on this machine. And it was so crazy that you put your hand on a pad mm-hmm. and it tells you all.
Everything.
Okay. It tells you all about your body and what's mm-hmm. happening. I've never seen anything like that before. And without her even looking at me, she was only looking at the data that was on the screen from this machine. She didn't look at my face. She wasn't looking at me all in the eyes. She looked at that screen and she said, huh, you have a lot of grief.
Wow. What kind of doctor?
That's what I was thinking. tell us who this doctor is 1 week ago.
And she's not even looking at me.
Yeah.
She said, you are dealing with a lot of grief. And, you know, she's still not looking at me and she's talking. She was like, it's something that you lost. Or she said, no. She said, this kind of grief is you're grieving what you thought you should have had or what you thought you lost. And that lady didn't know it. She was not, she's not a Christian. She didn't say that she had a word from God. She was only looking at the screen. And that's what started me to really start asking the Lord the questions. What's going on the inside of me that I've been covering up in the name of I can preach, I can prophesy, I can minister, I can supervise, I can put on makeup, I can look really cute. But I am covering up some stuff that's really starting to impact my health, like impact me from being healthy. The Bible says, and I think 1 John 3:1, you know, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Amen.
So the Lord was like, let's go deeper. And when she said you're grieving something, I knew exactly what it was. It was a hope. It was an expectation. It was a prayer that I had actually for my son.
Oh, wow.
And it didn't happen.
My Lord.
And, you know, I will go into that story maybe another time, but it was something that when it didn't happen, it was not for me. It was one of his dreams. And because I had him so young, I poured everything that I could into him so that he could say, you know, I was successful and not unsuccessful because my mom had me so young, or he could. I just believe God and we was on the track and then it didn't happen. And I grieved it. And I didn't know that I was still grieving it. That was one layer. And then the grief of that shoulda, coulda, woulda, you know, I should have been here by now, wherever the here is, you know, I should have been further along by now, or, you know, I made these mistakes. I made that mistake. And so then the Lord showed me that I battle with a lot of self-condemnation.
Yeah.
And so when you have self-condemnation, that's about the worst kind, because you nobody else says that you're condemned. You're saying, no, I'm condemned. You can't use me. I just move on. You know, I'm out of the game. Then I had guilt and shame. So that was what started turning the corner of, let me take off all this that I have been putting on to mask the pain, the hurt that I didn't realize was there, but it was impacting me. And I say it was impacting me and my health, but it was probably greatly impacting my relationship with the Lord,
because
I wouldn't get so close to him because of here comes the guilt or the shame. Like, oh, I can't really get close to you, Father, because I know I let you down.
Or even the disappointment where disappointment. You may have been believing God for something and he didn't show up the way you thought he would the way you expected him to. And it's like, you God, but I'm kind of mad.
Like, you can be mad at God. Yeah. And I believe that I was. And so when you ask, like, what was the turning point? That was it. It started with, you know, some health things that I was going through, but like I said, it was an array of things. God is so good. He just doesn't choose like this one point where he's like, boom, he works on you along the way. So this has been layered like an onion. You know, when you first get an onion, it's that crispy layer that kind of comes off really easy. But those thicker layers, you know, those take some time. And as you're peeling those back, you start crying, you start manifesting. Like, I don't know if I want to keep going, But that's what the Lord was doing with me, especially in 2025. Mm-hmm. And just to kind of bring it to where I am today, God has also showed me with, you know, being on furlough mm-hmm. at this time. I've worked since I was 12.
Wow.
I knew I needed a job. Mm-hmm. I told you, I saw my mom working every day. So I never knew what that was it was to kind of. Yeah. And it was an expectation. Did other people put that on me or did mm-hmm. I put that on myself? To go back into the onion, that was kind of a popular analogy. But in my life, you take an onion and the first layer is kind of, it's really crispy. Mm-hmm. It comes off easy. Mm-hmm. So some people stop there.
Yeah.
But it's time to go deeper.
Absolutely.
Because it's that little, when you start peeling back an onion and you finally get to the middle, there's mm-hmm. this little bitty bulb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you don't realize it's that little bitty bulb mm-hmm. that gave birth or was able to produce the bigger, you know, mm-hmm. onion that you see.
Yeah.
And so for me, just cutting straight to the chase, when mm-hmm. I allowed God to start peeling back the layers, it was mm-hmm. not pretty.
Yeah.
There was times where I didn't think that, you know, mm-hmm. I would make it in my marriage. It was yeah. getting ugly because, I mean, it was deliverance happening all throughout. And it is what it is. You know, I didn't yeah. think I was going to make it. I was like, just go on without me, you know, that kind of thing. Because you get to that one layer of, you know, regret. Mm-hmm. And it's not that it's regret on being married mm-hmm. or being a mom, it's that regret of self. Mm-hmm. Like maybe I didn't do what I should have done in a previous season. Yeah. So then you deal with that Lot's wife looking back yeah. and God mm-hmm. say you shouldn't be like that. Yeah. Another layer, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, giving myself grace, that was a big one. Mm-hmm. That was a layer that I'm not going to lie to you all. I know that we are under a dispensation of grace now. Yeah. But I'm probably more driven by the law. Yeah. And so when I would read Romans and mm-hmm. Paul's talking about you're not under the law anymore, yeah. you're under grace. That was a layer for me because I said, how in the world can you just forgive me and I don't owe nothing? Like there's got to be something that I need to pay back.
Yeah,
that was a big layer for me, y'all, because mm-hmm. I didn't know that I was the condemnation, guilt, yeah. shame. That's all a part of the law. It's you saying I deserve this punishment because of what I did back then. Mm-hmm. I had, you know, I terminated pregnancies. Mm-hmm. That's why my life, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going through this because I deserve
yeah.
it. And God's like, we got to deal with this now, Maisha, yeah. because if you want to truly be used by me, you have got to be able to give mercy to yourself, but mm-hmm. others as well. Because you'll catch yourself judging just like yep. you judge yourself so exactly. harshly. You'll start judging God's people very harshly. And the Father's like, I don't see them that way.
Yeah.
So we got to deal with that layer. The root of it all to me, when I finally got to that middle, that little bitty bulb, mm-hmm. the one that I cried and hollered and screamed to get to, it was a root of rejection.
Mm. Wow.
Y'all.
And I believe a lot of people in this generation, all of the, you hear about the narcissistic,
oh, yeah.
you know, the narcissism, you hear about oh, the yeah. codependent, you hear about the, you know, all of the terminology,
yeah.
all of the hurt, the go-getter, the ones that are, you know, I'm just out here, I'm trying to get my bag. If you look at the root, there was some rejection somewhere. Someone or something told you you weren't good enough. Mm-hmm. So now you got to prove that you are.
Yep.
Or you can be wounded, you know, and live out that lane of rejected. But yeah, my root was rejection.
That's so true how that root can play itself out on both ends of it. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, it could be the, you know, woe is me, the self, you know, self-pity or the insecurity mm-hmm. or the guilt or the shame. But it could also be the pride, the yep. arrogance, the narcissism, the it's about me, the it's mm-hmm. I'm making it happen mm-hmm. because you feel like you got something to prove. It's like,
yes.
but it's the same root.
Yes.
It's rejection.
Yes.
It's rejection.
It is. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Uh-huh. We could stay here for a while, but I feel like correct. Unless you have something else, Toya, I feel like we don't need to go on to femininity, but go
yes.
ahead. My Lord, go ahead.
All right. So you talk about women stepping boldly into their God-given femininity. So what does that phrase mean to you?
Yes, that phrase means to me, it. And this is coming from Maisha. Mm-hmm. Femininity is not makeup, your hair done, perfume, negligee, you know, nice curvy body. No. Femininity is, I am a woman that God created. And there are certain things in this world that I can only fulfill.
Wow.
As a woman, not as a baddie. We all want to be baddies.
Well.
We all want to be baddies.
Well.
But not all baddies are feminine.
Well. Some baddies want to be more masculine than the man that they're trying to attract.
Exactly. And unfortunately, we do live in a culture that either prides you on being a masculine woman or a woman that does not know what her true role and her calling in God is, mm-hmm. to fulfill that feminine part in the earth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So the struggle that I had, I can put myself together and look pretty, but inside I was more masculine.
Yeah.
I felt like I had to lead. I felt like I had to dominate.
Yeah.
I felt like I had to basically keep up with the boys,
yeah.
because that's what culture was telling me.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, when I was raised by a single mother, mm-hmm. I saw her in that masculine role
24/7.
I did not see my mom, you know, be soft and then lean under submission of a man who is trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got into my own marriage or in my own life, I didn't know how to submit and be somebody feminine and soft and be who God created for me to be, to come alongside my husband and help him.
Mm-hmm.
I knew how to dominate.
Yeah.
I knew how to say, oh, you don't got it. No problem. We can do this. Da, 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 da. And so in the church world, we may say that's a Jezebelic spirit, and we can go through deliverance all day long. But at the core of it is because of maybe the way you were raised.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't know how to be feminine.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't know how to be soft.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't know how to truly relinquish and allow God to lead your husband, and you having trust in God, you know, to move your family forward.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by getting really comfortable in your God-given femininity, not sexuality, not sensuality, not using your and when you start looking up like femininity and the power of femininity, you got to be careful you do your research, because you get into the occult real quick. You can get into people who call you a goddess, and then how to invoke your feminine goddess to basically manipulate a man, and that is not feminine. That's not godly femininity. That's witchcraft.
I was gonna say that's witchcraft.
That is witchcraft,
and gentlemen, that's witchcraft.
And that's where you can end up really quick. So that's why I believe that God is working with me in that space. Not to lure people away from going down that path, because it's very enticing, but it's going to cost you your soul, you know.
Mm-hmm. I will say, I feel like for a lot of women, it's hard to embrace femininity, similar to what you said, because you didn't necessarily see it growing up. You always saw, you know, the strong woman who was leading, who was doing this and doing that. And honestly, that could be in a single parent household, or it could be in a two parent household, where you just see the women running everything and getting everything done. But I feel like it's hard for us to embrace the true definition of femininity for that reason. Number one, we haven't seen it. But then also, too, because I believe there is a perception of weakness associated with it, when in fact it's being meek. It's being, you know, humble. It's being surrendered and having that controlled strength, if you will, and leaning into the ability that God has given us as women to influence and lead in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we don't always know that true definition, nor do we see it celebrated in culture. So I would say, can you just give maybe some insight as to how some steps women can take to really unlock biblical or access biblical femininity in their lives and in their personal walk?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll give one big key that I just learned a couple of minutes ago. I'm just kidding. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says that wives, You will not win your husband over by your words, but it's by your, you know, calm mm-hmm. and submissive character.
Mm-hmm.
Now that right there, that is such a key, but it goes against everything that is naturally within yep. us. And that was being communicated to us,
yep.
culture, social media, the housewives, whatever yep. your point of influence is, you know, we are known to use our mouth to tell you either about yourself, how you do. Yeah, I'm going to tell you about yourself, what you ain't doing, how you could be a better leader, how you need to be doing this. Da, 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 da. But the Bible says, whoa, my dear, I told you not to even say nothing. You're supposed to just show through not words, but your character. So you know what that meant to me? And I said I learned it a few minutes ago, but this is something that I have been working on in my marriage for a very long time now. Mm-hmm. When I found out my husband not listening to me when I go off like that, they and it's like a blank stare.
They're like, wah, wah,
they tear you off. But I'm glad, because the Bible never said it's by your words that you're gonna win them. He says mm-hmm. by your character
Amen.
That you're gonna
win them. Amen.
So what does that mean?
Amen.
Work on you.
Amen.
Stop focusing on everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Work on you.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that I could actually start working on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say you kind of like say, you know, God, you mm-hmm. can take everybody else, but you should be your priority. Your husband is not your priority, like your right. your project
yep.
to fix him up. Right. Your kids, even you do the best that you can with them. Mm-hmm. But my children, they don't usually do what I say. They do what they see me do.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to remind myself, like, oh, I'm telling them not to say this, but if mommy over here is saying all kind of yeah. stuff, they're gonna say, well, that's exactly what I'm gonna do. So yeah, that's one big point.
Yeah.
Work on yourself.
I feel like, and y'all, this is, I mean, we've said this, I feel like it's kind of been a thread throughout this season in particular, where we are literally emphasizing the importance of you doing the work, you know, as a single, quite honestly, because, you know, and of course it continues when you get married, but if you can't wait till you get married, because it's magnified. Every challenge, every hang up, every hurt, that every habit or whatever that you're dealing with, it gets magnified once you're married. And so start now with the work. The other piece that I want to say too is I feel like when you start to lean into the true definition of femininity, kind of goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning. It's scary because it requires you to let down your guard. We as women, you know, we always got the backup plan. We always got, you know, this the contingency. This is what we're going to do if this don't work out. You know, like we've got something in place, you know, we're prepared. And it starts with God, first and foremost. Coming to him and dropping your guard and saying, hey, I don't have it all figured out. You know, I'm really hurt. I'm projecting that I'm strong, that I'm independent, but I'm really hurt and I need you to help me heal, you know, but letting down that guard and being willing to put yourself in a place of vulnerability with God first.
Yeah.
And then when it's time, ultimately with your husband. I know there are so many women of God, even still to this day, who are having difficulty with that, letting down their guard and trusting other people because you've just been hurt. But it has to start with the Lord first. And not to say that, you know, you'll never get hurt, because people are people. But if you are trusting God, who's the mender of broken hearts, then he can help you in any and every other situation where you may get hurt. But you have to be willing to trust him first. Like, but that's what resonated with me, like just the need for us to be willing to drop our guards with the Lord first and foremost, because we guard it. Mm-hmm. We want to hold it together. We want to protect ourselves mm-hmm. instead of really allowing God to trust us or to protect us first mm-hmm. and foremost.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's femininity.
Mm.
Yeah, that's godly femininity.
Lots of gems being dropped. If y'all are watching, listening, so many things. Let God be God in your lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Anything else you want to talk through on femininity and identity in Christ?
I think we kind of hit all the little topics that you wanted to do in that one.
But I would ask, like, as we're getting ready to wrap up, is there anything in particular that you want to leave? And I'm really going to say this next generation of young women, because I feel like biblical femininity, you know, and just women in general, we're under attack where it comes to where, I mean, like, literally culture is trying to redefine womanhood, is trying to redefine femininity. And honestly, it's even trying to redefine Christianity. We talk about this whole culture of I'm a Christian, and, you know, but God is like, no, I want all of you. And I want you surrendered, and I need you surrendered in order for you to be all that I've called you to be. So are there any tips or words of wisdom or practical steps that you want to give to, like, young women in this next generation?
Wow. If I could give young women in this next generation anything, I would say God did not make a mistake when he made you.
Amen.
He made you on purpose. He made you with a destiny, an assignment, a calling. And though you may go through the ups and downs and whatever season that you are in, God is making all of that work for your good. The Bible is exactly what you need. The word of God. It's not Jesus plus other things, not Jesus plus the occult, or Jesus plus witchcraft or sage or the zodiac. There's a lot of things that are so accessible to you right now that is not of God. Go back to the word of God. That is going to be your blueprint. He has seen me through so much that nobody can ever tell me that he is not real. No one can ever tell me that he cannot turn your story, that story right now, that you feel like it may be hopeless, I'm never going to get married, or my marriage is never going to be restored, or is God ever going to bring me into my purpose? God is working every experience that you're going through. That is part of your story, and that is your testimony. So trust God, and that's just not something religious to say. Truly develop a relationship with him. Know who you are in Christ. And baby, hold on, because he's going to give you an experience with him that you could have never imagined.
And I just want to say, as you were saying, trust God, and the fact that, I mean, we say that all the time. Trust is not passive. It's an action word. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, while you're trusting God, it means you're intentionally not doing certain things that you know would not bring him glory. You're intentionally not taking the shortcut or trying to go around whatever you think God is calling you to. Like, trust is applying and being obedient actively. Like, it's not, oh, I'm just going to wait here and whatever happens, happens. Like, no, trust is an action word. It is not being passive. So, yeah.
Yes. So we have this segment called Noble Character. And in this segment, we typically like to give our guests an opportunity to recognize a woman in their community that has inspired them, maybe along their journey. And today we wanted to say that Myesha Houston, you are a woman of noble character. Woo! And we want to acknowledge you as a woman of noble character for being obedient to God. And we are looking forward to all the ways that God is getting ready to use you even in a greater way. He's already using you as you are prophesying and praying over people. You don't even know how you're touching other people's lives. And thank you for being obedient and all the things that God has for you in the future. We are excited.
Thank you. Thank you. It's an honor. Thank you so much for that.
And walking out your faith, even in this season, like you said, I'm furloughed. We trying to see what the government going to do too. But in that moment, you didn't let fear take hold of you. You were like, I'm going to walk by faith and I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And so we know, first of all, we thank you for your obedience in that. But secondly, we know that God is already honoring and blessing your obedience over and above. So we thank and praise God for him meeting every single need that you and your children and your husband have over and above what you could ask or think and imagine, that you will have more than enough because you've been obedient and because you're his child. Amen. So thank you for being obedient. Thank you, of course, for joining us. Look, we're going to say next time, because I feel like you're a fan favorite, but next time you co-hosting, we're just going to weigh in on different topics. But thank you for coming back. Thank you for just catching us up with where you are in the season and just, yeah, imparting wisdom like you always do.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Amen. All right, BE community, if you have not already, go get your merch. Go and support, like, subscribe, follow, all the things, share, tell people, and let us know what you want to hear, what you want to talk about. We're getting ready, actually, believe it or not, for our girl chat or girl talk season finale, closing out season 11. But there's more to come. So let us know what you want to talk about, what you want to hear from us, and we're here to support. So until next time, BE, we'll see you soon.
And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Becoming Eva Today. We are trying to get to 500 subscribers before we enter into season 12. So make sure you like and subscribe, and we'll check and see you guys next time. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.